I am Vernon Joins, and for the next few moments, we will be studying about some people who cannot be saved. Now, this may surprise some people to learn that there are individuals who simply cannot be saved, and so we're going to be discussing that idea for the next few moments. God wants you to be saved, no doubt about that. In fact, God wants all people to be saved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3 and verse 16. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 that God will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. In 2 Peter 3 9, that apostle states that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there is certainly no lack in the power of Jesus to save sinners. In fact, he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw nigh unto God through him, in Hebrews 7 and verse 25. In spite of God's desire that we be saved, the sacrifice of Christ for our sins and his ability to save, some people cannot be saved. That's not God's fault, but man's. God has provided salvation in Christ, but he doesn't force it on anyone. Who cannot be saved? Well, first of all, those who do not desire to be saved. If a man has no interest in the spiritual blessings God offers, he cannot be saved. And some do not. Jesus taught in a parable in Matthew 21, verses 33 through 46, of servants who had no appreciation for the blessings the master provided, using them for themselves while neglecting obligations as servants. Now the result, he said, he will miserably destroy those wicked men. You will note here that he refers to them as being wicked simply because they didn't have the interest in being saved. And when some refuse to have God in their knowledge, Romans 1 and verse 28, and are filthy dreamers, defile the flesh, despise dominion, brute beast, Jude 8 and 10, then God gave them up, Romans 1 verse 24, and also verse 26 through 28. Now, Christ invites, he extends this invitation by saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, in Matthew 11 and verse 28. But that is an invitation, and he doesn't force anyone to come. You don't have to accept it if you don't want to, and it's still up to each individual to decide for themselves. The challenge of Joshua still rings loud and clear from Joshua 24:15, when he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. So God gives us a choice, and it is our decision to make. And there are many who are carnal-minded, Romans 8 and verse 6, instead of being interested in spiritual things. When people choose to live in sin rather than to come to Christ, they cannot be saved. Now, those who trust in their own goodness cannot be saved. There's no way that you can be good enough or that you can work enough to earn your salvation. Man simply cannot save himself, but many act as though they can, and trusting in their good works as a basis of salvation. When such said to Jesus, Lord, Lord, have we not done mighty works in thy name? Then the Lord answered, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23. Now the point is simple. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In Isaiah 64 and verse 6. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot guide ourselves. Our good works cannot save us. Some, though, still trust in themselves. But I'm living a good life, they'll say. But a good life will not save without Christ. That's the point. And when we become proud of our goodness, we need to go back and read again such passages as Matthew 23, 1 through 12, Luke 18, 9 through 14, and Titus 3 and verse 5. And the Lord put all of this into perspective in Luke 17 and verse 10. When ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. If one lived in perfect obedience, he has only done what God created him for in the first place. Thus, no reward is due. Yet so many are rejecting the salvation offered in Christ with the argument, I live a good life. Well, maybe so, but that's not going to save you, and you cannot be saved just by living a good life. If one is a Christian and a faithful Christian, that person will live a good life, but they are in Christ, and the person who just lives a good life is not in Christ. Now, those who refuse the call of God, as noted in the preceding statements that we made, that God wants all to be saved, and he calls all of us to salvation. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day, as it is written. They shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh to me, Jesus said. In Acts 10:34, we learn that God is no respecter of persons. The way God calls one, he calls everyone. How then does he call? God has chosen you from the beginning unto salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he calls you through our gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 and 14. God calls you, he called me, he calls all men, but he calls us all the same way, and that is through the gospel. We need to understand that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, in Romans 1 and verse 16. The gospel is the means God uses to call men to himself. It is his power unto salvation, but it has no power to save anyone who refuses to believe. The call of God is answered by our faith, and without faith it is impossible to please him, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. In giving the Great Commission, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. In Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, those who do not believe shall die in their sins, so Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24. Now that's clear, isn't it? He that believeth not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. For in doing this, they reject God's call to salvation, cannot be saved. Those who will not turn from their sins, those who desire to be saved and still continue in their sins, aren't going to be saved in that manner. Now, sin separates us from God, according to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And he said that God's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear dull of hearing that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, the Lord came to the earth. He lived and died so that we would have the practice of sin out of our lives. We'd leave it. He died for all that they who live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who for their sakes died and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. Jesus died to save us from sin, not to save us in sin. And we should be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Romans 6 and verse 11. Jesus put it in plain terms in Luke 13 verses 3 and 5. I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Clear, isn't it? To repent is to determine to live differently, to turn from sin and do as the Lord wants us to do. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Now, if I'm determined to have my own way, and in doing this that I live as I want to live, then I cannot be saved. Over and over the command is repeated, repent. Acts 2:38, Acts 3:19, Acts 17:30-31, and so forth. Now, those who determine to live in sin cannot be saved. Neither can those who reject the death of Jesus Christ. The penalty for sin is clearly stated in the Word of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. Ezekiel 18:20, Romans 6:23, James 1 and verse 15. But God sent His Son to die for us, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. He took our place. He paid the penalty. The enmity of sin being destroyed, He has reconciled us to God, and having made peace through the blood of His cross. Colossians 1 and verse 20. Anyone who rejects the death of Christ cannot be saved. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Romans 3, verses 23 through 25. But notice in the following chapters how we are conformed to the image of His Son in Romans 8 and verse 29. And after showing the necessity of Christ's death and the shedding of His blood in Romans 3:25, God then states in the fifth chapter, verses 8 through 10, that Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled unto God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Then the 14th verse, he later says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Christ died and shed His blood for us. He didn't do this for Himself. He didn't have any need for it, but He did it for us. He was buried, and He was raised the third day. These facts are basic to the gospel. Notice that in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. And then simply stated that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and He was buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture. Now, we have to accept that, and we have to depend upon those facts in order to be saved. And we have to be obedient to His will in order to take advantage of that which Jesus did for us. And if we are to be conformed to the image of His Son, we must be baptized into His death, buried with Him by baptism, and then raised to newness of life. This newness of life cannot begin until we are baptized into Christ and to His death. Notice that he says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, he therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are become have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's why Paul writes these words, having been buried with Him by baptism, wherein you were also raised with Him through the faith and the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. If then we were raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 2:12 and Colossians 1 through 3. Many today seem to think they can benefit from the death of Christ while rejecting the means of our access into the death of Christ. But it simply cannot be done. Those who thus reject his death cannot be saved. In spite of the fact that God wants all men to be saved, some will be lost. He leaves that choice to each person. Those that want and seek his salvation, that put their trust in his grace instead of their own goodness, that accept his call by believing the gospel, that willingly turn from their sins and accept the death of Christ by being baptized, and those people shall be saved. But those who live for this life, trust in themselves, hold to their own way, and reject the death of Jesus, those simply cannot be saved. Now, every person who is listening to this broadcast, and every person in the world, is either on one side or the other. Now, the question is which? Will you be saved or will you be lost? I'm Vernon Joins. Thank you for listening.